So I'd like to thank NIOSH for putting together this process and also my co-authors on the paper. There are several of us. And I have no financial relationships to disclose. So in the interest of time, I'm not going to go into detail about everything that was in our paper. I'm mainly going to focus on some of the key U.S. laws and policies that affect occupational health disparities and also talk a bit about excluded workers. That was a big issue that came up in our discussions at the Chicago conference. So for our paper, we looked not only at the policies that affect health and safety disparities in the workplace, we also looked at things like income and health insurance, which are affected by work and which we know also affect health status. Some of the key laws and policies: National Labor Relations Act, dealing with unionization, and the Fair Labor Standards Act, dealing with wages and overtime pay and prohibiting most child labor. Coal Mine Safety and Health Act, which created MSHA to set and enforce safety and health regulations in mining, and the Occupational Safety and Health Act, which created OSHA to set and enforce workplace health and safety regulations, and also NIOSH and BLS. Workers' compensation is an extremely important set of laws and policies for workers who do get injured or made ill on the job. It's designed to help workers get the medical care they need and recover and get back to work. It's handled at the state level, so there are different laws from state to state. Texas is the only state that does not require private employers to carry workers' compensation insurance. And when that insurance is provided, it does cover medical benefits for care to recover from the injury or illness, cash benefits to replace a portion of the lost wages if you're unable to work because of the injury or illness, and for workers who are killed on the job, it provides death benefits and some burial costs. And there's a great deal of variability between the states, both in their policies, in things like the generosity of benefits, whether there's a cutoff time on how long you can collect cash benefits, and then also in practice, whether the agency processes claims quickly and efficiently, and how fairly they decide cases. And the idea behind the workers' comp system is really that it should give employers and their insurers an incentive to invest in workplace health and safety and avoid having claims. Unfortunately, as we can see from the continued high numbers of injuries and illnesses from work, this potential has really not been met. Health insurance has generally been optional for employers to provide as a benefit. Of course, the elderly population is generally covered by Medicare, but for the majority of the rest of the population, if people have health insurance, it's usually because it's employer-sponsored. It has been very difficult for people to get affordable and good insurance on the open market. And those who are least likely to have this employer-sponsored insurance and thus have difficulty getting any health insurance include Hispanics, African Americans, foreign-born individuals, and those with the least education and lowest income. Now, if the Affordable Care Act is implemented as written, starting in 2014, there will be some big changes to help people who don't get employer-sponsored insurance to get affordable coverage, and that includes expanding Medicaid eligibility and also subsidizing the purchase of insurance through state-based health insurance exchanges. And paid leave is also a benefit that is optional for most employers. And it, as well as sick leave, which is a big one for health, but it also includes vacations, holidays, and personal time. And those who have less access to paid leave include part-time workers, non-union workers, and low-wage workers. And research has found that a lot of people report that they can't take time off work to see a doctor, which of course will affect their health. Now, San Francisco, D.C., also now Seattle, are cities with laws that require most employers to provide some paid sick leave to their employees. Denver is actually going to be voting on a ballot initiative on this tomorrow as well. And Connecticut recently became the first state to require that employers of service sector employees provide paid sick leave. And then for unpaid leave, the Family Medical Leave Act allows people to take unpaid leave to deal with their own illnesses or those of a family member. And so a lot of people still have trouble taking advantage of that because it's unpaid, but it does provide some protection against being fired for taking time off. So there are a lot of workers who are not covered by these laws and policies, and agricultural and domestic workers are two very large categories of workers who are specifically excluded from provisions of the NLRA and the Fair Labor Standards Act, and also from many OSHA standards. And in fact, OSHA, for the purposes of coverage by standards, does not consider private homes to be workplaces, so a lot of home health care aides are lacking the kinds of OSHA protections that many other workers enjoy. Smaller employers are often exempt from certain provisions of the law. And public sector workers are another large group. Federal OSHA does not provide coverage for public sector workers. About half the states have state OSHA plans, and a lot of those do provide coverage for state, county, municipal workers, but there are around 8 million public sector workers who don't have this kind of protection. And independent contractors are another big class that's excluded from basically most of the benefits and protections that other workers enjoy. And there, from a 2005 count, there were about 10 million of those, and that represents about 7% of the workforce. So that is the exclusions that are written into laws. There are also a lot of workers who are excluded in practice, even though they might have certain rights under the laws. And insufficient enforcement is really the sort of overarching problem here. Also, immigrant workers and other vulnerable workers often don't report violations. Workers are often discouraged from saying that an injury is work-related, which would allow them to get workers' comp benefits. A lot of employers who are supposed to make sure that their tipped employees are getting at least minimum wage between the $2.13 an hour they earn and their tips are not doing that, and in some cases are stealing tips. And then misclassification of workers as independent contractors is a huge problem because it cuts workers off from many of the benefits they should be entitled to. So this is just a glimpse of some of the local and state efforts to reduce disparities that we talked about in the paper. And so there are laws that go above and beyond federal and state laws. There's stepped up enforcement, and there are voluntary agreements. There are a lot of organizations that are doing great work to address disparities, and we talked in the paper about some collaborations that are going on, also about worker centers and COSH groups, which are working across multiple different issues affecting workers. So all of these things contribute to occupational health disparities, everything I've talked about, and we do have several recommendations, and this is actually an abridged list, but I wanted to give people an idea of what they might find in the paper. And basically these fall into a couple of different categories. A lot of what we talked about was getting better information about the impacts of exclusions, and tracking and penalizing bad actors is something that federal and state agencies could do. For Congress, of course, we'd like them to change the law and end the exclusions that exist in current law and also make some changes to prohibit misclassification of employees as independent contractors. And of course, we'd really like them to better fund enforcement efforts. For researchers, we basically recommended getting more information on the impacts of both existing and potential policies. And we found in researching this that there's still a lot we don't know about who is affected and how. And so these are my references, and the draft white paper is online along with all the other ones.